the reading of God's Word from the book of Psalms, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. But not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his word. Joseph Campbell was a professor of comparative religion in the last century who focused his work on how we humans interpret our everyday life. In his most well-known work, The Power of Myth, Campbell writes of those whom he knew who lived what he called a wasteland life. Think about that for a moment. A wasteland life. And by that, Campbell meant these are people who are going through life baffled and addled and anxious and uncertain, not experiencing much, if any, satisfaction and fulfillment, simply because they do not know where the water in life lies. The source that causes everything to grow and everything to flourish, including our little lives, wasteland lives. Do you know of anyone who lives that kind of life? Do you know of anyone who lives a wasteland life? What about you? What about your life? Do you know in your life where the source of water is, so that in your life, each and every day, every aspect of your life, you experience a certain measure of satisfaction and fulfillment? It is sadly the case that so many people today do not know that level of life. They don't live a life that contains very much meaning and purpose, because there's no real sense of transcendence in their life. The source that causes everything to grow, they're living for themselves. And they're living by themselves. But for us who are people of faith, we understand better than most that God did not create us to live wasteland lives. God created us to be connected to Him so that we might experience in every aspect of life fulfillment and satisfaction and flourishing, that we might live productively and meaningfully. That certainly was the counsel of the psalmist in every one of the 150 psalms. We read the psalmist calling us to lift up our souls and our hearts and our voices, the entirety of our lives, to a God, a transcendent God, who in turn might respond to our faith and dedication in ways that lift us to a level of life that God created us to know. As you surely understand, the book of Psalms has always been the primary hymn book of God's people, first the Jews, and then Christians, and still to this day inviting us to consider how much better our everyday experience might go when we order and align our lives around God's purposes. This morning I've read for you the very first psalm. And in any collection of any type of literature, the first item sets the stage, as it were, for everything that is to follow. And we certainly see that in the book of Psalms. Psalm 1 is so very pivotal in establishing for God's people a direction in life that will ensure their flourishing, their growth, their satisfaction, their enjoyment, their joy. For those of you who are English majors and you break down literature, you can see so very quickly as we read through this first psalm that it is what English majors call a comparison contrast. It compares and contrasts two very distinct approaches to life. The way of faithfulness on one hand, and the way of unfaithfulness on the other. They are two distinctly different ways to approach life. And as you would expect, the psalmist places most of his attention and draws most of our attention to the way of faithfulness. What it means when we align our lives according to God's purposes. And there is a wonderful progression that speaks to the difference that comes to those who are folk of faith when they order their lives around God's direction. They do not walk in the ways of the wicked. They do not sit in the seat of scorners. They are instead people who are quick and careful to make sure that they are always following God's direction. And as a result of their devotion to God's ways, what is the promise that God makes to His people? You will prosper. You will prosper in everything that you do. Not in a material way, as if material prosperity is the be-all and end-all in life. No, the psalmist is inviting us to experience favor that runs much deeper. A prosperity that assures us that in everything that we're about, we produce, we grow, we make a difference, we have an impact, we join with God and the work that God is about in this world. And by joining God in what God is always about, in everything that we do, there is deep fulfillment and satisfaction and meaning and purpose. That is how life goes, the psalmist says. For they who are faithful. But what about the unfaithful? It's a very different choice. They have no grounding, the psalmist says. There's no rootedness to their life. They are blown by the wind. They're like chaff, the psalmist says. Every influence in life just blows them in an aimless direction. Their life, to quote Campbell, is inevitably a wasteland sort of life. And you wonder as you read the psalm, why would anyone ever choose that second path, the path of unfaithfulness? If the path of unfaithfulness leads nowhere, if it offers no hope and no joy and no fulfillment and no satisfaction, how is it that people would ever think of ordering their lives apart from God? When we dig into the Psalms, particularly this first psalm, there are two reasons why that is the case. In the first place, many people simply cannot muster the spiritual courage. There's no other way I know how to describe it. The spiritual courage that is necessary to reject the influences in life that would steer us away from the purposes of God. This business of not walking in the way of the wicked or keeping company with evildoers or sitting in the seat of scorners, that's all about the evil influences that would take us far, far away from God. And I dare say that this morning there is not a soul in this place who doesn't understand the pressures that are exerted upon us in everyday life to go in a way that we know in the core of our being is not where God would have us to go. I do not care if you are 10 years of age, or you are 20 years of age, or you are 50 years of age, or you are even older. There never comes a time in life, a season in life, where it comes easy for us to zig while everyone else is zagging. There never is a time for us to go against the flow. It is always the case that it is so much easier just to float downstream and to go with the crowd. And yet, what does the psalmist say? When we live in that way, we cut ourselves off from the choice blessings that God desires to give those whose hearts are stayed upon Him. The second reason is because there are some of us who, quite frankly and quite flatly, have decided within ourselves that it might just be possible for us to have a foot in both worlds. Have one foot in the camp of faith and the other foot in the camp of unfaith, though we would not prefer to think of our foot being in that place. However, if we are not altogether in with God's direction, where else can we consider ourselves to be than to be outside the purposes that God intends for us? And yet, there is this, in some cases, reluctance. I don't want to be branded as a zealot. I don't want to be thought of as being someone who is just so committed to a particular way of life that I'm considered irrelevant by others. And yet, you read throughout Scripture that God never blesses a double-minded person. God never does a work in the heart of those who are half committed to Him. Half commitment is no commitment. And so what the psalmist calls us to consider is the difference that it might make in every aspect of our life. If instead of trying to live in two worlds, God's world and our world, or the world of others, how much better, how much more productive, how much more fulfilling would life be if we chose to be all in with God? How does that happen? How do we come to a place in our life and faith where we might, number one, muster the spiritual courage at times to say no to the prevailing culture in order that we might say yes to God? And how do we get to a place in our faith journey where we're all in with God and with the things of God? And not duly aligned or double-minded. The psalmist tells us that the best way to find that strength, to know this purpose, is to meditate on the law of the Lord, to give yourself to constant reflection on what it is that God is calling you to do, to develop, as it were, a daily discipline, a spiritual discipline that you can follow on an everyday basis. And one of the things about which I am most proud about our church is the manner in which we have endeavored to provide our membership with resources that will facilitate and encourage exactly, precisely that type of discipline. The blogs that we send by email. The daily Bible reading plan. In fact, I can't think of a better way for any person who would walk the path of faith. I can't think of a better way than to commit oneself to a daily discipline of reading God's Word, reading Holy Scripture. And I think part of the problem that causes us to struggle with this kind of discipline is that we think in our minds that somehow we've got to commit ourselves to these huge blocks of Scripture. When the truth of the matter is that if you would just read one verse of the Bible, that's all I'm asking you to consider doing. One verse of the Bible each and every day. And commit that verse to memory. To do as the psalmist suggests in the 119th Psalm, to hide that one word of God in your heart so that you might not sin against Him. If you would develop a daily discipline of just one verse of Scripture that you commit to your heart, and that, as the psalmist suggests in this first psalm, that you meditate upon throughout the day, you just mull over this one word, two things will happen. The first thing is, you won't be satisfied with reading just one word of Scripture for very long. You'll want to read more. And the second thing is, that if you take the one word, the one sense of direction that God gives you, as a result of your daily discipline, what will happen in your life, in your everyday experience, is that you will begin to see that one word, that one thought, showing up in every aspect of your existence. You'll see it showing up in your family life. You'll see it showing up in your financial life. You'll see it showing up in your business life. You'll see it showing up in your relational life. It'll be everywhere. And as a result of your reflection upon that one word, that meditation upon the law of God in your life, you'll begin to experience a flourishing a flourishing, a prosperity, spiritually speaking, that you have never known before. When we look at the life and the faith of Jesus, isn't this the practice that sustained our Lord and Master? In the challenging moments of his life, how did Jesus overcome the pressures that were exerted upon him by Satan? He claimed Scripture. Just verses of Scripture that Jesus had hidden in his heart. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of the Father. Thou shalt not put the Lord to the test. Thou shalt worship the Lord and serve Him only. Those words of Scripture that Jesus had committed to His heart in times of challenge, they gave Jesus the strength that he needed to reject the influences that would steer him away from God's purposes, so that by faith Jesus stayed with God's direction even to the cross. This is why faith matters. This is why faith matters. It connects us. Do you see this? It connects us to an inexhaustible source of spiritual strength that will sustain us and secure us for the flourishing life that God has created us to know this morning. Is that the kind of life that you're living? Do you find yourself being productive for God and good in everything that you're about? Every morning when you wake up, are you excited about the opportunities that God is giving you to experience His abiding presence and to further His purposes in the world, to connect with Him in what God is doing? If not, you have a choice to make. And quite frankly, it's a very simple choice in terms of options. I know. We all love options. We all love to have choices. This past week, I was in Athens, Georgia, attending a meeting. And you might be surprised, but I think maybe I've only been to Athens one other time in my life. So I wasn't really sure about how I might best get to Athens. But now, you know, we have these navigation apps on our cell phones. And I have three of them on my phone. I've got options. And so I started playing around with those applications. And there's one particular one that I use because it gives me options. It can say you can go this way, or you can go this way, or you can go this way. And it's your choice. We love that. I feel empowered. I'm in control. I'm going to go to Athens, Georgia on my terms. And all of these ways will get me there, but I choose the one that I think is best for me. Who wouldn't love that? But in life, hear what the psalmist says, dear brothers and sisters. If you want to flourish and prosper and find fulfillment and satisfaction, there's only one way. And it goes through Jesus, who is for us, who have been claimed by His grace, the way, the truth, and the life. It goes through Calvary and the garden tomb, and ultimately it takes us to a place that, as the old hymn says, always keeps us near to the heart of God. This morning, if you know what's best for you, choose God's way and walk in His path and find delight in His instruction. And your life will never, ever be a wasteland life. You will flourish in all that you're about. And you will milk each moment for all that it is worth.